It was on the first Sunday of December that I began to preach about what Christmas shows us about God. You might remember we looked at the fact that it shows us that God is a God who keeps his promises, and also that nothing is too hard for God. But this morning we come really to the pinnacle. What does Christmas show us about God? Well, it shows us that God loves us so very much. I remember talking about it on that first Sunday and saying, you know, when you think about it, what's the first thing that comes to mind? It is, isn't it, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And straight after the service, David Cowell came up to me and said, yeah, that was a verse that came to my mind when you spoke about that. And so I knew many of you were reflecting, because so often when we think about Christmas, we do turn to the love of God, and it does prove just how much God loves us. In our Bible reading today from 1 John 4:9, this is how God showed his love among us. It's interesting to notice how it goes, this is God showed his love. His love it was. God's love among us human beings. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Truly amazing thing about God's love is that we gave God no encouragement to love us. No encouragement at all when you think about it. Not even to love us in a small way, let alone to love us in this great sacrificial way that we remember at Christmas and then later on at Easter. In fact, the sins that pollute every human being present in our lives made us the enemies of God, the scripture tells us. And we know that our nature was one that did not seek God. Why, the only time even today so often people are interested in God is when they have troubles, isn't it? When things go good, they disregard him and ignore him basically completely. And yet, despite that, God came into the world to be born amongst us. When we read the stories around the birth of Christ, we look at them and we see that his entry into the world really didn't make too much of a splash on the world scene. And it wasn't that well received when you think about it. We have a few, like Joseph and Mary. We have the shepherds. We have Elizabeth and Zechariah. We have the wise men. We have Anna and Simeon a little bit later on. But there really wasn't that much of a welcome. In fact, it was really quite confused and low-key. And when you look at the other side, there was a very hostile welcome from Herod, who decided that he would destroy the Christ child. And those scribes and Pharisees, who knew that Bethlehem was the place where the Messiah was born, they didn't even bother. So the welcome wasn't that great. Yet such did not surprise our Heavenly Father. In fact, he predicted it way back in the Old Testament. He knew our reaction long before the Son came into the world. In fact, he knew it would mean the cross. And so did the Son. Yet still, he came. And God knew that the cruelty of Herod was just the beginning. In a battle that would take the Son of God, Saviour of the world, to the cross of Calvary. The birth of Jesus into the world shows us how much God loves us. There is no doubt about that. But when you think about it, it is the death of God the Son later on that shows us the extent of that love, the depth of that love, the breadth of that love, the height of that love, if we read in Scripture. This is seen on the cross of Calvary. Paul says this in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love, and again it's his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The word demonstrate in the Greek is a very interesting word. It means to place in a striking point of view. When God entered our world as a baby,
He showed us that he loved us.
When he died upon the cross, he placed his love in a striking point of view. Think of that for a moment. His love was up there for us to see. His love was there for men to either draw men unto him or for them to reject. But he placed his love in a most striking point of view. 1 John 4:10, which followed on from where with that verse we just had a moment ago, from 1 John 4:9. But John continues on and says, not only did God show his love for us by sending his Son into the world, but then he goes on and said, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, whenever you are tempted to doubt that God loves you, whenever you go through life and it gets a bit tough and you wonder whether God's heard that prayer or this prayer and what God's going to do anything or what God is doing, then look to the cross. Because the cross demonstrates. The cross is God's love put on view, striking view, for you to see how much he truly loves you. And the reason that God loves us to such a degree, says John the Apostle, is because he is love. That's why God loves us. Love is his very nature. He cannot but love you. Doesn't matter what you do, what you say, or how you treat him. His nature is love. He cannot but love you. There's a parable told about a holy man who was doing his morning meditation by a riverbank. And as he was sitting there meditating, he noticed that the river was rising. And near the river there was this tree with the roots going into the river. And stuck in the roots was a centipede. The holy man saw this for a while and he decided that because the water was rising, he would rescue the centipede. So he crawled out on the root and tried to get near. But every time he went near, of course, the centipede that went to strike him. So he withdrew and then he tried again. And this was going on for a little bit, and there was an observer who came past and he turned to the holy man and said, don't you know that's a scorpion? And it's in the nature of a scorpion to want to sting. To which the holy man replied, that may well be, but it is my nature to save. And must I change my nature? Because the scorpion does not change its nature. Isn't that God? It's God's nature to love. We may not love God and we rail against God sometimes. And how many people have really gone against God and yet God's kept loving them? And there are many times when God's love has overcome because his nature is love. You may perhaps yourself at times, or perhaps you know of someone who's been giving God a hard time lately. Who perhaps been rebelling against that love of God. But God will never change his love. That is the most wonderful thing of Scripture, because that's his nature. Oh, the day will come when the time of grace will be over, and God will be just, because God is light too. But in his love, he has made this wonderful salvation available. That's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? That's where Christmas begins. But this amazing love that God has for us also lays upon us a responsibility to love in return. To love God, of course, but also to love others with the very same intensity and depth of love with which he first loved us. That's a huge depth of love when you stop to think about it. Indeed, John says a lot about this in the passage we read. He says this in verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. In other words, people see God who is love when they see us loving others.
Ever thought about that? That they see God in you, whom you love in the way that God loved you. Just last week we had all these beautiful hampers here. And after the service had finished, we shared those hampers with those who came. And there were some who weren't here. I waited in the afternoon and contacted some. And one particular lady came to get hers. And the reason she hadn't come earlier is because there had been a bit of a tragedy in the family. And she was at such a low point. And she sure needed that hamper. And she was overcome with it. And she said to me, "You people, you're just so wonderful to do this for us." I said, "But that's what it's all about. This is what we should be. This is Christ. This is Christianity. Loving. Because God has first loved us." And that's so true, isn't it? That's how we show God to others. By the love with which we love them. Indeed, verse 20 goes on to say, if anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, and it's easy to say words, isn't it? He is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now, those words are quite unequivocal, aren't they? There's no escape clause there. There's no, "but you don't know my brother." And I don't mean that in a natural sense, because you do. But you know, brothers and sisters and Lord, or people who are part of the brotherhood and sisterhood of mankind, there are people out there that you would love to have a little exclusion clause on that one. It doesn't give you that. It's quite unequivocal in what it says. And perhaps we look at that and think, "Well, God accepts a little bit much from me. I'm just a human being. I don't have the patience to love that particular person, or the forgiving spirit to actually forgive that one, or the perseverance to love like that. I just can't do that." Well, thankfully, God was one step ahead of us. In Romans 5:5, he said this: "God has poured out his love again. He has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." What a promise that is. Not only poured his love for us into our hearts, which enables us to love him, a love which grows every time we think about the Christmas and the Easter stories, but by his Spirit, he has made it possible for us to draw upon a source of love within us, which is God's love, God's type of love, God's power of love, God's perseverance in love, God's patience in love, God's forgiveness in love. A love which is from God himself. And with that love, we are to bless the lives of others, even our enemies, even the ones who get under our skin. You know, when you stop and think about it, there is a natural, logical kind of loving that loves lovely things. That's the way the world loves. And there'll be a lot of that happening this Christmas, won't there? A lot of love going out because you're getting some sort of response in return, and that makes you feel good. A lot of that loving. That's a very logical, natural love. But there is another kind of loving that doesn't look for value in what it loves, but that creates value in what it loves. See the difference? It doesn't look for value, but it creates value. It sees a reason to love that may not be there, because it's the love of God in our hearts. Ian Pitt Wilson, in one of his books, talks about his daughter Rosemary. Rosemary was his youngest child. When she was 3, she was given a little rag doll, which quickly became an inseparable companion for her. She had other toys that were intrinsically far more valuable, but none that she loved
like she loved the rag doll. Isn't that often the case? You buy children gifts for Christmas and the one they love most is the one that costs least. Well, she loved this little rag doll. Well, soon the rag doll became more and more rag and less doll. It also became more and more dirty. If you tried to clean the rag doll, it became more ragged. And if you didn't try to clean the rag doll, it became dirtier still. Now, the sensible thing to do was to trash the rag doll. But that was unthinkable for anyone who loved Rosemary. You see, if you loved Rosemary, you loved the rag doll. It was part of the package. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. Love me, love my rag dolls, says God, including the one you see when you look in the mirror. This is the finest and greatest commandment. Now, if you think of Christmas and think of the great love of God for us, we praise him. We trust him and we receive that. If we haven't received it, we accept that love by asking him to be our Lord and Saviour. But at the same time, we see that great love that God has for us, so we see and review our love for others. And this Christmas, is the Lord pointing you towards someone that he wants you to love that like that? Not just a love in your way, which is logical for lovely things or for people who respond to the love, but the love in the way of God, to love with his love. Perhaps even as you sit there, you can think of someone who normally you would not do anything with or to this Christmas. Or someone or some person or some event, the Lord is saying to you, this is where you show my love. This is your opportunity. And you do it by the power of my Spirit. So Christmas means to you not just gratitude to God, but also a becoming like God, a loving God's rag dolls too. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for what you share with us in your word about Christmas so much. We thank you for what we can learn about it. And we praise you that we can stop and just thank you for your love. And we hear you say to us, that's okay, but now show how much you thank me by showing that same love to others. Help us this year to listen to your voice directing us to whom we should show love, that we will go forth and do so by the power of your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.